So we left off with the question of in the Gemara here, a very interesting question, which is, we know that people cannot be behind the Kohanim in order to receive the bracha. Correct? We know that? We're all good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. You cannot be behind the Kohen and expect to be a recipient of Birkas Kohanim. Okay. And we could also say, I think Yudi said this last time, the person is removing themselves from the tzibur. Now the Gemara continues down this analysis and says, okay, well, let's introduce the following cases. Let's introduce, everyone agrees that if Pshita, that if Yudi's standing behind David, right behind him, right, he's still going to be a recipient of Birkas Kohanim. Rather, the case that the Gemara is in Suffolk about is a Mechitza. Right, so let's say we roll over, we wheel out the board. It's a good example. Right before Birkas Kohanim starts, I wheel the board out right in front of Yudi. So Gemara's Besafik, maybe you'll say that that's considered a problem. I guess it's not punim upon him, or maybe it's not. And the Gemara's answer is, no, his language is, of course, what he called, of course it's not a problem, because since it's the bracha from God, I feel mechitza shel barzel. I don't know why that's the case, by the way. Why you'd say even a metal mechitza can't stop, God's bracha. No, I'm saying, like, is it like the thickest? I mean, I guess it's the... Right. So good. So the first step of the Havin is very good. Very well done, right? Which is that we know there has to be an idea upon him, an idea of recipients. So maybe what you'll say is that when you look at the seaboard, you look at them as individuals. Then the problem is that if Yudi's behind David, he's not getting the panim upanim. Or do you say no? Do you say that the Kohanim are addressing the audience? Like, think about like a rock concert, right? At a rock concert or a football stadium, right? You have spectators. It's not individuals. It's this entity of spectators. So they're addressing the entity of audience. They're not addressing each specific individual. So then it's okay Klar standing behind Yudi. But if that's true, right? Okay. And by the way, and that also, just to make sure we're consistent, that's also why if somebody stood behind the Kohanim, he's removing himself from that entity of Tzibor. So that would be consistent. Okay. But now the question is, what about the Mechitza? Now, how would this lead right into the Mechitza question? Why is there a suffix by the Mechitza? It's good. Fine. In other words, good. As we know, Mechitza halakhically delineates a makam, demarcates an area, right? So now you can see a suffix here because you can say, so he's not removing himself from the tzibur, right? But by virtue of him being behind the mechitza, what would you think? In other words, it's true he's not actively removing himself from the tzibur, but what's the result of being there? He's not part of the tzibur, right? He's in a position, he's no different than being behind the kohen, because by being in front of the mechitza, he's now, just like they're behind him and they're their own area, so too he's in his own area now. Right, exactly. It's the result, right? But it's interesting. But that's why he has to go with this God idea. The idea is that what's the God idea? The God idea is that it's true he is removed. There's a maskan is moda that he is separated out, so to speak, from the tzibor. Since he didn't do it actively, he can't be responsible for that. In other words, that's the magical power of God's bracha. It's only someone who's actively removing that wouldn't receive it. Okay, fine. Now look at the Ibailahu. What's the Ibailahu? Who's Gana? You want to read today?
Wait, I have a question.
Excellent. This guy stands in between now, not literally, but conceptually, he's between the guy who goes behind the Kohanim and the guy in the field. You understand? He's like right in that center point because he's not, because he's in front of the Mechitza, because the Mechitza is in front of him, so in a sense, he's not really part of this Tzibor anymore.
So he'd be
but like, he hasn't done anything to remove himself from the Tzibor.
So why not just say,
Okay, now that's an excellent question. Okay, now what's the case here? Let's say you have the Kohanim are all at the Duchan, right? And now David's right over here, right? So he's at the side of them. This is a great conceptual question. I forgot to give you Tosos on this, but anyway, I'll tell you what he says in a second. This is a great conceptual question. Yes, I don't need a drawing for that, but thank you. Okay, so he's right in the side. So the Mahu, okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Abba,
Mar Bar Rav Ashi. Tashma.
So what's his case?
Okay, so he intended to sprinkle the blood in front of himself, and he sprinkled it behind him.
The Afer of the Par Aduma.
Okay.
Okay, that's what he's sprinkling, okay? So what was his intent? Remember, there's water and Afer by the Par Aduma. So what is his intention? His intention is Lahazos Lefanov, right? His intention is to pour it on the things on the kalim in front of him, right? And what happens?
He goes behind,
right? V'hizol acharav. Rather, and what happens below kavana, right? I mean, he didn't intend. The money ended. The water ended up behind him.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
V'acharav v'hizol lefanav.
Or the opposite. Okay.
Hazatok tesuah.
Right, why?
Rashi.
Sure.
So it requires kavanah.
Right. Right.
Whatever direction he went was the kavanah. Was the not the direction he had kavanah
for. Right. Okay. Good. So is that clear? So in other words, his intention was to pour the water this way, and let's make it simple. Let's say someone came along and scared him, and when they scared him, he went like this. So the water ended up going that way, or vice versa. In either way, since his kavanah was for A, right, and B ended up occurring, so then we say that it's puzzle. Okay, keep going. Interesting. But let's say his kavanah was to do it in front of him, and there's kalim on either side, and the water ends up on one of the side kalim, right? What's the halacha? Kasher. Okay, why? Why is it kasher? Slow now. What is Rashi saying?
He's saying the sides are not behind you.
What does alat stud and shebefanav mean?
I guess sides where you can see, like your peripheral vision.
Okay, good. Very good. So, right. Right. So you have, what does sides here mean? Sides mean that I can still see them in my peripheral vision. So again, translate over to the case of the Kohanim. In other words, let's say, we'll define this soon, but let's say the Kohanim are, let's say David's standing on the side. Now, side here means that when you look, if I look to my side, I could still see David.
Look to your side, like just with your eyes.
I'm here, and if I look this way, I'd still see David.
That's what side means?
Yes. Is it at stud in and in front, not stud in and behind?
Yeah.
So sides here means sides and front, and not sides to back. Okay. Okay. So, which sounds like it means is that, in that straight line there, right? Okay. According to Rashi, if the Yisrael is standing literally at the right on that line.
Okay.
Before I get to the Rashi Tosos, what's interesting about this is the comparison to the case of Paraduma. It doesn't seem like the kind of. I mean, it's like a far out there comparison. Okay, but we'll get to that though. What? Yeah. No, it's for the kelim to be kosher. What? Okay, let's look at this here. So let's say we have our Kohanim, this is an aerial view, okay? Okay? So they're all standing like this, okay? Or, right? So this is the aerial view, they're standing in a straight line, okay? Now you have Yisrael comes along, okay? So let's say, now according to Rashi would say, where does the Yisrael have to be? Okay, so Rashi seems to be saying, the Yisrael has to be here, meaning, right, in other words,
which way is front and which way is back?
This is behind the Kohanim. This is behind.
Can you do a vertical line down and then make a little triangle?
Let's read Tosos, David. Look what Tosos says. Tosos is one line over here. What does Tosos say? Quote to Yerushalmi. Right here. The Hizah. Okay. He says, "Amrin and Hada, Amra Omdin Hinat Stadin Bichal Bracha." So, what does that mean? So, Tosus would say that even if the Yisrael is here, okay, even if the Yisrael is here, he's still considered to the side. Okay. Again, Rashi wants him to be from the midpoint forward. Tosus would say, even as long as there's still some position of the Yisrael being on the side. Like when you guys went like this, like turning around, but he's not all the way behind. I mean, he hasn't crossed this barrier yet. In other words,
what's this barrier?
The completely behind barrier.
But he is. He's behind that barrier.
Not anymore. There you go.
So as long as some part of him is touching the barrier.
As long as some part of him is still side orientated, then it's still good. Okay? So you have two possibilities. Do you say Rashi says that the Yisrael has to be, let's say, at the midpoint of side or front? Okay? Or to make it easier, like when he said peripheral vision, that's a good way to put it. Like I can see the guy, when I turn to the side, I can still see him. Right? Whereas Tosus would say, even if I went like this, right, he's still in my peripheral vision. But he hasn't crossed this barrier yet of being behind.
Okay?
So everyone agrees that if the Yisrael's here, right, that's bad. X, right? Question is it from this point swooping up? Or as long as he's hasn't crossed his barrier here, it's still considered studim. Well, it includes Rashi. Good luck defining this.
No, what is that? Why go to this case of Hazah? What does the case of Hazah show us? So I'll tell you, there's one step you have to make. You're right, but I'm saying if you don't make the step first, it's not neat. Okay. In other words, what does the Hazah teach us? Okay, the Hazah teaches us is that there, in other words, why is Studden such a unique problem, being on the side? See,
because it's not included in front of or behind necessarily.
Right. Well, okay. Meaning that, okay. Meaning you have two possibilities. There's two ways you can go. Either you can say that there's three areas, there's three zones, right? There, you know what I'm saying? There's three zones: there's front, behind, and side. And now the question is, we have to figure out to classify, and then we treat sides separately. Or you say, no, there is no such thing as sides. There's either, you're either in front or you're behind. Right? There's no sides. There's no side. You're either in front of the quantum or you're behind the quantum. Right? So what does the Hazah case teach you, ultimately? Well, there's no sides. Right? There's no idea of a side. There is either it's in front or it's behind. You can't define someone as being on the side. Right? Studden doesn't exist halachically. There's no idea of being on the studden. You're either in the front or you're behind. There's no sides. You understand? I know it sounds counterintuitive, but if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. There's no, don't look at it as like, there's no like x-axis and y-axis, and then I could somehow stand like on the edges of the x-axis and still be, no. You're either in front of the quantum, there's only a y. You're either in front or you're behind. There's never a side. Okay? Halacha doesn't recognize a side. What? Why? Right, but see, but now, right, so halacha has two ways to deal with that. What does halacha always do with, studden is a suffix, mahu. There's two ways to deal with a suffix. Either you could say it's a new zone, has its own halachic concepts by it, that's one possibility, or you get rid of it in its entirety, right? So it seems like the case of Hazah is teaching you is that they're getting rid of it. They're saying there is no side. We don't say there's a situation of pouring water in front, pouring water behind, and pouring water to the side. We try to group side underneath either front or back. If you're trying to group side underneath front or back, what you're really saying is there's no such thing as a halachic side. There's no studden. There's either front or back. Okay? Is that clear? That's like the first step to take. So that, now, that being the case, now what's the machlokas? See, I'm saying if you go down this road, right? Now the question is, now let's take what I'm saying and plug it into the machlokas. But I think in my opinion, you're going to have to say this. It's going to be very weird to say that there's a separate area called side. Because you see, at the end of the day, what's Rashi say? Rashi says he uses, like, his lashon is studen sheishimenu lahalan, right? That sounds like what he's saying is that, meaning, in other words, it's always a property of being in front. Okay, side means
so side includes in front until you pass a threshold of being behind.
Okay, so now let's define that. What's the basis of the machlokas? We can't lose sight of the main problem here, though. The main problem is that what's the problem of a Yisrael standing behind the quantum? He's removing himself from the tzibur. So now take this idea of X and Y axis and now plug that into the halachic issue. All right? We know the problem is the Yisrael can't remove himself from the tzibur. Going behind the quantum means he's removing himself. Now he's in the, in quotes, sides, okay? And now we're struggling now to figure out, is he still included, is he still part of the tzibur or not? Yeah. I would hug you if I could. That's the next step to make. Now the next question is, which perspective do you take? Do you take the Yisrael standpoint or the Cohen standpoint? See, the giveaway was, you guys all said this, the Cohen looks like this. You're taking into account this perspective. So take us home, Sean. If that's the case, now what?
So from the people's perspective, say, see person and he's in line with the Kohanim, right? So he hasn't passed the threshold of the borderline.
Okay, so from the Yisrael's perspective, right, now imagine you're the Yisrael standing on the X line, okay? You're standing on that, on the side, okay? Now think about that. From your perspective to the Kohanim, how would you see yourself?
You're in line with them,
right? So, right, exactly. From your perspective, you say, I'm still in line with them, okay? But from the Kohen's perspective, which is Tosfos, well, no, the Kohen can still see him. How far, the Kohen can still see him if he's on the side. How far back can the Kohen see him? Until he can't turn his neck 90 degrees, right? So that's what he means by, that's why Tosos sets that threshold. Tosos is saying that it's from the Kohen's perspective, as long as the Kohen can still see him normally, right? So you'd say he's still in front of him. It's only when the Kohen can't see him anymore, which basically means he can't turn all the way around like that. Like, that's as far as the Kohen can go. Any further than that, he's like, he has to move his feet. That means he's behind him, right? That's the machlokas, right? That's the machlokas. So again, the question is that, there's no such thing as, the first step is, there's no such thing as sides. Okay, there's either front or back. Now the question is, if someone's standing in the location of sides, do we define them as being in front or in back? Oh, so now the question is, when it comes to that location, it depends on your perspective. From the Yisrael's perspective, as long as the Yisrael sees himself in the line with the Kohanim, he could consider himself being in front. Or do you say no? Do you say from the Kohen's perspective, from his perspective, he even has behind him? He could even be behind him, but that's still not considered behind the Kohanim. I mean, from the Kohanim's perspective, if I can still see him, he's considered in front of me. Okay, skip ahead to where it says, and then it says, V'amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Shenemar. Kodesh. Et Hashem. Okay, so what do you see from the Torah, right? Right, what do you see? A Kohen who has not washed his hands, okay, before he goes up to Duchim, should not Duchim. Okay. So, the issue we're going to take up is not about why they have to wash their hands. Let's push that to the side. More we're going to take up is the issue of when. And this is a very serious question. Because as everyone here knows, I'll just present the problem. Everyone here knows that what do Kohanim do today? They... Right. So, firstly, that's why, ideally, if shuls should be built in a way where the Tales of Daim is right inside the sanctuary. So Kohanim do not have to leave to do Birkas Kohanim. It's very bad. What? What do you mean?
Meaning, if you're like doing something aside from just listening, you're not going to have the best gospel.
But you're still hearing it, though. That's better than leaving.
You know what's the worst part? You know what's even worse?
What? All right, but let's understand. Let's understand. So... Okay, but what's weird about that? Well, first of all, we know that's not definitively the case, because let's say a Kohen is a Shliach Tzibor. So what does he do? He washes his hands
before
Chazaras Hashatz, right? So we do see that it's not like, we have to be careful how we approach this. It's not black and white, because if it was black and white, then how could the Kohen ever daven in Shliach Tzibor? He'd have to stop Chazaras Hashatz, go wash his hands. You see, that's
maybe
not...
Maybe it's really...
But the Rambam says, right, that you do Netilas Yadarim at Shacharis, right, and you're good to go. Right, yeah, which would include Birkas Kohanim. Okay, that's true, let's put that to the side. You're right. But I'm saying, so according to the Rambam, you would not have to. Now, what's an example where this becomes an interesting question? Is there any question, let's say, for Yom Kippur, okay? So let's say, according to the Rambam, you do a full Netilas Yadarim for Shacharis, Yom Kippur? Okay, so according to that, should you, out of the fact that there's a machlokas, do another netila before Birkas Kohanim? You know what I mean? What does Rashi say?
Rashi.
Shlo natal yadav. Okay, so that sounds like he has to do it right before he duchens, right? It's interesting. You guys see Tosfos?
Not yet. I'll be the first.
Toso say. Well, start with the not regular Tosos.
Kolban shalom tayda. Geperish Rashi Amar Li. Amar Li Rabbi Im Natal Yadav Shachari Nitahir Kolim.
Okay, interesting, right? So Tosos had a gear of Rashi that said what? That if the Kohen washes hands at Shachari, he doesn't have to wash again. He's good to go. Okay? So if the Kohen washed at Shacharis and his hands were tar, he don't have to do until it's a dime again. Okay, keep going. Dimamish Samuch. Okay, so he claims that this student of Rashi, who learned Rashi to mean that even at Shacharis, he learns that to mean that Samach. Okay, so, I mean, we can go to all Tosos, but we know the Machlokas. Machlokas is that does the Kohen have to wash his hands right before Birkas Kohanim, or can he rely on the washing of hands that took place at Shacharis? Okay? Like he says later on, he says, keep going, David. Kodesh. Birkas Kohanim. Now that's like an easy way to learn. Su Yedechem, right? Su Yedechem Kodesh, right? Ubarchu, right? That sounds like your hands need to be Kodesh, and then you give the bracha. So it sounds like once you do Netilas Yadayim, right before you do Duchening. Okay? Right. Demashmalei. Right, because we know that Birkas Kohanim involves what? Okay, good.
Okay. Umashma Yerushalmi. Parak Aleph de Brachot, the Bibrachad de Mishnai Prad, Va'inan, Tel Yadayim Samaphon.
Okay, so we learn out from there also that has to be next to it. The Maisi lo Hasama Birkas Amazon. Interesting. They learned that out there from Birkas Amazon. Now, this is the key point. Focus on this point here. He says, Vahachi Isa Shlosha Tchifosain. Okay? What does that mean?
There are 3 different parts of the process.
Well, no. There are three halachic instances of a tekef, of a samach, of that I got to do A right before B. There's 3 halachic instances. So one of them is.
Oh, so that's.
Wait a second. No. You skipped ahead. V'hachi isa shlosha tchifos. Did I skip ahead?
Oh, no. You're right.
Yeah. V'hachi isa shlosha brat tchifos hain tekaf l'smicha shchita.
Yeah. Okay. L'smicha shchita. Shnemar m'samach m'shachat.
Okay. So at least Tosus is helping us out here because he's using a paradigm. What do you see by what's smicha? Hands on the animal. So smicha must take place right before shchita. So too, right? What else do we see? Shnei Mar Zidichem Baruch Hu, take off.
Take off the Nitzila Yidayim, Baruch Ha. Shnei Mar Zidichem Baruch Hu, take off Megula Tefila.
Shnei Mar.
Shnei Mar Yuratan Reisei Vigom.
Remember that one, right? So there's 3 tekefs, right? There's a tekef of smicha de shchita. There's a tekef of geula letfila. We remember that one. That's the smicha idea, right? And then this one. Okay, now, you know what? Oh, just because I want to finish the sukkah today. So Tosos goes back and forth insofar as understanding the netila, right? The netila the netila here isn't just about Birkas Kohanim, it's about brachas in general. Meaning any time there's a bracha you're going to make that requires a netila, the netila must be samach to the bracha. Okay? Like, for instance, when you wash your hands for a motzi. You know what I mean?
Or for a wet vegetable.
Okay. Right. So, yeah. So, in other words, we know a Kohen has to wash his hands before he duchens. Okay. Well, let's say we know a Kohen's hands have to be tahor before he duchens. Right. Let's put it that way. So the question is, what's the machlokas here?
Tahor, we still need to wash it before he duchens. If they are tahor, if they're not tahor.
According to Rambam, no. According to Tosos, yes. If they're not tahor, for sure he has to wash his hands.
That's not.
Right. No. If they're not tahor, everyone agrees he has to wash his hands.
If they are tahor, the question is.
Correct. Right. So what would you say? How would you define this machlokas?
Is tila part of the bracha or just making his hands tahor?
What do you mean? Okay. Can you expand on that a little bit? I hear what you're saying. In other words, it's not like the Rambam's position. It's like the Rambam saying that there's no relationship between the Tila and Birkas Kohanim. But if you recall, this is another great way to end this sugya. What's one of the issues, another overarching issue that we've seen throughout this entire sugya? Among the many overarching issues. No, that's one issue. That's true. Don't The Rambam says in Parak Dal Halacha Aleph, there are 5 things that prevent you from being able to daven. Okay? What's the first one? Taras Yadayim. Okay? Taras Yadayim Ketzad, Rochek Yodav Amayim Ad Aperek, V'Acharach Yispala. Okay? That's all you need to know. So what's the Rambam hold? Yeah, exactly. But that's the machlokas. Question is that Birkas Kohanim, remember, on the one end, it's a separate mitzvah saseh. Right? So when Tosos reads, remember, Tosos has to read the Gemara. When Tosos reads the Gemara, he's saying, oh, what does it mean to say that Kohen has to wash his hands beforehand? That's why he struggles so much to show it's a heksher, because Birkas Kohanim is a separate halachic institution that's superimposed onto tefillah, but it's separate. So when the Gemara says he has to wash his hands beforehand, it's a heksher for Birkas Kohanim. And they just prove that's the case. But the Rambam would say, yeah, but on the other hand, Birkas Kohanim is part of tefillah. Right? So once I wash my hands for tefillah, isn't Birkas Kohanim part of that experience? So why do we need a separate washing of the hands for it? I'm just saying the Rambam is very smooth because the Rambam would say, why would you delineate? Why would you discriminate and separate Birkas Kohanim out? Say, listen, it's part of Tefillah. Yeah. The Rambam is much more efficient. It's much more efficient, right? One Tefillah includes everything, right? But that's why if you read Tosos, that's why Tosos struggles. Tosos has to demonstrate how it's a heksher because Birkas Kohanim it's nice to again the Gemara does say Shlo Natal Yadav, which implies it's a heksher for that action. But Tosus has to show you that it's Tosus has to demonstrate it's a heksher because he's separating Birkas Kohanim out from the rest of Tefillah.
Okay, I would say he